I'm excited about this word. I really believe it's a word for that can take us through this year. It's a very simple message. We've all heard it. It's from Luke chapter 5, verse 11. But I first want to start off by saying, I want you to picture your life like a boat. Tell someone next to you, your life is like a boat. It's almost like a Forrest Gump. Your life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, huh? But now, your life is not like a box of chocolates tonight. Your life is like a boat, okay? So sometimes you're at the edge of the shore, sometimes floating. Sometimes you're in a storm, sometimes sinking. It sounds like a poem. Sometimes you're at the edge of the shore, sometimes floating. Sometimes in a storm, sometimes sinking. It rhymes a bit, okay? So I'm not too bad. There are four scenarios here for your life like a boat. You can first of all be, either you can be, you know, at the shore resting like most of us have been. Some of us have been at the shore a little bit too long this holiday. We've been parked there, we're chilling out, we're resting a lot. Sometimes your boat can be floating. As I said, your boat is like your, or your boat is your life, okay? So think of it as your life. Sometimes you could be pursuing purpose. And obviously, if all of us start tomorrow, starting class, starting work, we're pursuing purpose. We're floating on the water like a fishing boat. We're doing something productive. Or else, if you're a speed boat, you'll be going at quite a speed. But you're out there pursuing purpose. Life is happening. Then there could be a scenario where there's suddenly a storm and you're going through a huge challenge in your life. You're feeling a bit tossed about and nauseous and hanging over the side, feeding the fish and so on. You're a little bit nauseous. You're in a bit of a storm. Or else your boat could even be sinking. You feel like you're overcome a little bit. Life is not happening for you. You really feel like this is the end. I must just take my life. It's just not happening. So you could either be floating. You could be at the edge of the shore resting. You could be in a storm being challenged. Or else you could feel like you're sinking and totally being overcome. So these four scenarios, I believe, all of us will face this year. Amen. All of us will face these scenarios like a boat this year. And you know, when I read the Gospels, there's much mention of boats. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you do a search on all the, obviously all four of the Gospels, some of them are repeated, but if you do a search, there's about 43, if you type into Esau the word boat, you'll see there are about 43 hits in just in the Gospels when it talks about boats. And so Jesus, I believe, was quite into boats and he was quite into fishing, okay? But obviously it was just because that's where he found himself. He was around, he ministered around a place where there was a sea and people used to go from one part of the shore to the other part using boats and there was a lot of fishing happening. So Jesus seemed to connect with people who were in boats and people who were fishing. So I just thought I'd throw that out as an introduction. But I want to ask you a question this evening. Where is your boat headed in 2013? Where is your boat headed in 2013? And secondly, are you in control of your boat? Are you in control of your boat? Because as I said, these four scenarios, you could find yourself sinking this year, you could find yourself floating and pursuing purpose, you could find yourself in a storm, or you could find yourself even being pursuing purpose, as I said. So those four scenarios will happen. So let us look at this story that the writer Luke wrote in Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. And it's interesting, just to give you a little background, Jesus started his ministry just before this passage, and it seemed like there was just all sorts of miracles happening all around him, and even in the story there's obviously a miracle, but there's healings, there's deliverances, there's teachings happening. Jesus is really starting to change the world. And yeah, Luke sort of starts to focus here in chapter 5. He just focuses on this part of scripture where Jesus calls his disciples. And if you understand scripture, this is actually the second call. It's not the first call of the disciples. They were called previously and they sort of followed him for a while and then they went back to fishing and everything. So this is the second call where Jesus was connecting with him again. And it's found here in Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. So let's read together starting from verse 1. I'll go through it verse by verse and then we'll see what the Lord has to say for us. So are you excited to be here tonight? Are you excited to hear the word? I trust you are. First of all, it says here, so it was as the multitude pressed about him. So I said earlier, Jesus was busy changing the world. There were lots of people that wanted to be near him and they wanted to hear him. Pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. So it's interesting, yeah. Jesus obviously was becoming popular and the people were almost pushing him off the shore. And yeah, he's found himself next to this lake and he's really now focused on why he's there. And obviously Jesus is not there by chance. He's specifically there for a very good purpose. He knows the reason he's there. And Yari starts to zoom in. It's like the writer zooms in here and he saw two boats. It's like the rest of the crowd fades out for a while and he zooms on these two boats and he sees that the fishermen are not quite there. They seem to be doing something else, cleaning their nets and so on. But it's like Jesus knows that these two boats represent lives that he's focused on. He's pursuing these people, and as I said, he's already pursued them, and they sort of saw him healing a few people, and then they just carried on fishing. And Yari is again pursuing these people. You see, he had already seen potential in them previously, and he continued to pursue them. But it's amazing, isn't Jesus amazingly effective? He doesn't only see potential in these two boats that he's after, or these two people represented by these boats. He sees potential in the whole circumstance, the whole situation, as we'll see later on. He sees this amazing potential all around him, because he's got a crowd here that are pressing him, and he's obviously knows what to do, but he just sees this potential all around him. And I want to say to you this evening, my first point is that Jesus sees potential not only in your life as a person, but he sees potential in your circumstances for this year. I want you to remember that this year. Jesus sees potential in your life as a person, and he sees potential also in the circumstances around you. In other words, the people that are around you, everyone, or everything that's happening around you this year, he sees amazing potential. And guess what? We don't always see that. We must admit it. We don't see the potential. When there's a challenge, we just think we want to get out of this challenge. We don't want to carry on because everything seems negative. But Jesus sees potential here. Despite him almost being pushed into the water by the crowd, he just sees this as an amazing opportunity. And that is the Jesus we serve. And I'll never forget my first job when I was working as an engineer. I sort of thought, oh, I'm doing this mediocre job. I'm doing this this job that's not true. I'm not feeling like I'm pursuing purpose at all. I'm not feeling like, well, what is this job really? There are other guys in Joburg earning lots more money, and yeah, I'm starting off as an engineer, and it seems like I'm like in Stellenbosch, the student town. What am I really doing here? And then the Lord just started to speak to me, and he said to me, but what you're doing right now and what you're busy with is so important to me. I am excited about what you're doing. Don't ever despise what you're doing. Don't ever think I've placed you here. Don't start to doubt the work I'm doing in my life. And I found such peace in that, because I was thinking, maybe I mustn't be an engineer. Maybe I must do something else. And then the Lord started to really minister to me. It was in a time in my life where I was really seeking God, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started to say, God, I'm not going to waste time anymore. I don't want to just do the same old as everyone else is doing. I want to pursue your purpose. And then the Lord started to confirm to me that I'm at the right place. And he's excited. He sees the potential in my circumstances. He sees the potential in the company that I'm working for. He sees so much potential in my life. I just need to go with where he's going. And so I want to say that to you for 2013. God sees potential in your life right now. He sees potential. He saw potential long ago when you were born, but he's seeing potential today. And he's with you. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing your heart. So that's my first point. Jesus sees potential in you and in your circumstances, and he sees potential in the people around you. Secondly, it carries on, and then it says, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon. So Yari is, he knows where he's going, and now he's doing what he was called to do. He gets into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, knowing Jesus, obviously he didn't just force himself into that boat. He must have asked very nicely, Simon, can I just use your boat a little bit as a pulpit? And Simon must have thought, what's happening here? What are you going to do, Jesus? This is a fishing boat. And Jesus said, just go with me on this. And Simon seemed to have not resisted at all. The writer doesn't say anything about it, because it just says he said to Simon, move out a little bit. And then he started to talk to these people. And yes, Simon must be wondering, but must I be here or not? And Jesus obviously made sure that Simon was with him in the boat, because he knew where he was going. Now, it seems, if you understand the scriptures, it seems Simon Peter was busy packing up. He was washing his nets, and he was pretty kind of, not really into the fishing thing anymore, or just for that night at least, or that day. He was pretty, he was disappointed at the failure that he had gone through, but we'll get to that now. So he wasn't really ready to fish anymore, but he thought, let me just go with Jesus and see what Jesus is doing. So Jesus starts to preach to the people. And you see, it's amazing if you think about it. Jesus could have actually made his own plan, wouldn't you agree? Jesus could have walked on the water and preached to the people. Jesus could have done anything to get to those people. But guess what he chooses to do? He chooses to get into a boat, specifically Simon's boat, and he starts to say to Simon, watch what I'm going to do. You just go with me. And Simon kind of must think, yes, this is interesting. But anyway, but you see, Jesus chose to be effective. In other words, he didn't only preach to the crowd, but he was busy raising up Simon as his partner as well. And he saw potential in not only reaching the people in the crowd there, but he saw potential in how many people that Simon was going to reach one day as well. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is the most effective of all people. We cannot be as effective as him. Because what do? We tend to box Jesus in and say, okay, I'll do this, Jesus, and then I'll do that. Jesus says to us, no, let's be effective. Let us start to do things. That's the thing of multiplication. Don't you see that? It's doing something once and it just has a it has an effect of multiplication. And that is what I also believe for this year. Jesus wants us to be effective. Jesus doesn't want us to waste time in doing stuff that's dead works. He wants us to be effective in multiplying ourselves, and at the same time, while we do it, be a blessing, reach other people, change others' lives. But what I want to really get to, the second point I want to get to this evening, is that he wanted Simon to partner with him on this journey that he was on. And Simon probably didn't have a clue about what he was trying to do. But he was starting a journey with Simon. He was starting to say, Simon, I want you to partner with me. And I believe he wants the same for you and he wants the same for me. He's going to partner with us, and guess what? He's going to continue to reach others' lives. He's not going to stop his plan and just partner with you as an individual. He's carrying on. He's changing the world, even to this day. But yet, he still wants to partner with us. He still wants to take us along on this journey. To this day, right now, people are getting saved. People are getting touched. Jesus is doing amazing work all over the earth. But still, he comes here to visit us in this little building in the middle of Bloemfontein, and he wants to partner with us again. He wants to say, I want you to come with me on this journey. And so I believe he wants you and me to work alongside him. So I want to say to some people this evening, stop working for Jesus. Stop working for God. Stop getting tired working for whatever you're working for. Come alongside Jesus. Be a partner with him. He wants you to be his partner. So I want to say to you this evening, are you willing to allow your boat, your life in other words, to be a pulpit for Jesus, where Jesus can touch many other people, where he can partner with you, and where you actually just say, Lord, you do it, because I'm just your boat, Lord. You can sit in my boat. You can have my life, Lord. You can partner with me. I don't always understand, Lord, but I want to be your partner. That is all he's asking us to be. Third point. Are you with me this evening? Jesus is going somewhere. First of all, he doesn't only see potential in all of us and in our situations. He doesn't only want us to partner with him. But then, listen to this. This is where it starts getting exciting. When he had stopped speaking, so now he's finished with the crowd and everything, and now he focuses on Simon. And he says to Simon the following. He says, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Quite a challenge for Simon, because listen to his answer. He says to him, Master, you don't understand. We've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. I'm not really happy with this request, Master, but nevertheless, he says, at your word, I will let down the net. You see, when he's finished with the crowd, he focuses on Simon, and what does he do? He says to Simon, you have allowed me into your boat. I'm going to start to make a change in your life. And isn't that amazing? Haven't we all, those of us who've been following Jesus, isn't that amazing when Jesus comes into your boat and he starts to say, life gets a little bit interesting when Jesus comes into your boat. Isn't that so? I love to use the word interesting because it can mean anything. If I say something is interesting, what do you register? It's like when my wife sort of asks me, she makes a new dish. I can skin her about her because she's not young. She makes a new meal for me, like she's never made this thing before, and then she like presents it, and then afterwards she kind of watches me when I'm eating, but I try to keep my face straight, and then afterwards she says, yes, how was that? And I sort of say, I sort of use this word interesting, and then it's probably not good for me to do that, because then she will let me fast for 3 days after that to get over myself, But I mean, sometimes I have to also be honest, okay? But when I use the word interesting, I guess it doesn't always give a positive reaction, okay? But so I believe when Jesus comes into your boat, things start to get interesting, okay? You don't know what's going to happen next. But you see, Jesus starts to ask you questions like that failure of yours, that thing that you missed last night, you didn't catch the fish, yes, but let's do it again. And Simon probably tried many times and nothing happened, so he just thought, I'll take a break for a while. Jesus starts to make interesting little requests, and he asks you these questions that you've never heard before. Like, that little thing in your life. Let's start to work on that little thing in your life. Let's start to, that little attitude of yours, that resistance when there's authority structure in your life, or that little failure of yours that you just don't want to go back to, but I've actually called you to do that, and you're not doing that. That he makes these little requests, and he just gently asks a few questions and said, but come, launch out. Launch out into the deep. Catch some fish again. See, it's amazing when he starts to get into your boat. And that's what happened to Simon. Simon had just failed at what he was doing best. Fishing. He was a great fisherman, and he had just failed at what he was doing and what he was called to do. And then Jesus comes and he challenges this failure. He challenges this little bit of fear in Simon's life. And obviously, he wasn't feeling very great at the time. Simon Peter was probably thinking, let me just take a week's break here, because this fishing thing, I don't know, but I'm not feeling too great now. But yet, when we see his obedience, when we see what he just says, nevertheless, and he recognizes, he says, Master. In other words, he recognizes this person. He knows who's asking him this question. So he probably thinks, I guess I can trust him. But still, we must really say that Simon's obedience here was very commendable. He could have said, look, Jesus, I'm not going to do it. And Jesus wouldn't have forced himself on him. He would have said, okay, I'll go to another boat and see if someone else wants to fish with me. But Simon's obedience was amazing, and Jesus obviously knew it. So I want to say to you this year, expect Jesus to challenge you on something this year. When you allow Jesus into your boat, when you allow him to come and be part of your life, and it's totally you that's allowing him, he's not going to force himself into anyone's life. He's just so good and he's so kind. But you know, when you do allow him, he's not going to just leave you the same as you are. He's going to start to challenge you and start to change you in specific areas of your life. And it could be the fear of failure, just like it was here with Simon. It could be the fear of rejection. It could be the fear of having nothing, or the fear of death even. Whatever fears there are in your life, Jesus causes this change. And the key is to know who is challenging you. Because that is what Peter did. Peter knew, he recognized Master, so he recognizes this is a person who's got authority. So I better listen to him. He knew who was challenging him. And then what did he do? He obeyed, despite his feelings. So I want to say to us this year, I believe that we must just know who's challenging us. It's not going to be any person. It's not just going to be someone asking you to do something. It's the Master himself saying, let on the nets quickly. Let's go for a catch again. I know you failed. I know you just want to run away from your life. You want to run away from your circumstances. But let's just deal with this right now. I'm in your boat. You can trust me. And I'll never forget, it's like when I teach him how to slide, it's like he's so scared to sort of go down that slide. You know, he knows it's going to be nice and stuff, but it's just like he's just got this little thing inside of him. Am I going to be okay at the bottom? You know, and it's so amazing to see his face when I just say to him, I give him a little bit of a nudge, but then I hold his hand and let him go down the slide, and it's like suddenly his attitude changed. He just wants to go again, and then I'm quite tired because I've got to keep doing this over and over again. But it's amazing when he overcomes that fear, that he overcomes that challenge in his life, which he's never done before. But he overcomes it and he does it and he slides down that slide and life is happening for him. He loves it. And you see, that is what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to just overcome that fear, because it's not about the thing we failed at. It's just that we're not trusting him. We're doing it in our own strength. And God wants to come alongside us and take us by the arm and take us down that slide. And let us experience the ride of life. But we're sitting at the top sometimes and we're so scared to take that challenge and to take that plunge. Why? Because we've done it before and we failed because we didn't have Jesus with us. And he wants us to say, you can trust me. You can trust me this year. And I told some of you the story last year about the race that I ran in Stellenbosch, you know, with a wig on and everything like that. But what I didn't tell last time was that the race before that, now Tad will know, these are big APSA engine meetings. There were athletes from America running that night. And anyway, so before that, I'd run a couple of these races, and I was so despondent because every time I was given an opportunity to run in these big races, I would just run the worst race of my life because I was probably so nervous and the competition was so strong and I ended last. And I was just, so I'd run about two or three of these big races before. Amazing opportunity, because obviously I wasn't quite in the level of these top guys, but it was in Stellenbosch. So our coach said, look, yeah, run this race. It's good experience. So I'd run a couple of these races, and I just thought, yeah, he has this big engine race. No, maybe I mustn't run in it. You know, I think I'll just leave it. And then our coach gave us the opportunity and said, would you guys like to run? I was just thinking, you know what? I'm not keen to end last again. I'm not going to make a fool of myself and look stupid and everything. I'll rather just sit and enjoy the meeting, and I don't have to get nervous and stressed before this race and everything. But then I felt the Lord, and at that stage, I didn't know the Lord like I do now. I didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But at that stage, it was the Lord speaking to me. I didn't realize it then, but it was if I look back on it. Then the Lord was actually, I had this feeling in me, which is obviously the Lord saying, why don't you just do something different in this race? Run this race, but do something different. You know, make it fun for yourself. Enjoy. Don't get so nervous. You don't have to win the race. You can really just relax. And that's when I decided to get this wig I thought to myself, maybe I must paint my body, but I thought, no, that's going to look funny because then I'm going to have to spend hours in the shower getting all this paint off. I wanted to do something weird, and then I decided, hey, I saw this wig at this party, so I'll put this weird afro wig on. And that's what I did, and I told you that story. I won't go into it now. I had the race of my life. I just so enjoyed it. The crowd was on their feet giving me Mexican waves on this side, then Mexican waves on that side. The Oaks weren't even worried about the top guys. They were just loving this clown who's in Marty clothes. They probably thought it was some drunk young student or something, but he was still running close to 15 minutes for 5,000 meters. But anyway, but I had the race of my life. I was so tired after 3,000 meters, I was about to give up because I started so fast. But, you know, I finished that race, and when I went over the line, it felt like I'd won the race. The crowd was standing, and everyone was just laughing themselves to, you know, crazy, this guy running with this weird afro on and stuff. But, you know, I just so enjoyed the race. And I could have missed out on that opportunity if I'd given in to my fear of failure. And I did end last, by the way. But you know what? It was so awesome to end last because everyone was off the track and it was just me. You know, how cool is that? But anyway, but I enjoyed this race. I just loved it because the Lord showed me something there. Just overcome your fear. Do something different. Hear what I have to say for you. I will be with you. I will let you have the race of your life. It doesn't matter where you end. It's all about the journey, and it's all about how you experience it. And the people were talking for the rest of that year. When I was at another race, people there in the Western Cape are like those, the coloured there, who say, "Hey, Jay, was that your afro? That afro was so lekker, man." You know, like, they just used to laugh at me with this afro. That was like, you know, the talk of the town after that. And it was just an amazing opportunity to just say life is there to be lived. You know, we can enjoy life. Or we can be caught up by our fear of failure and just not get involved in the things God wants us to get involved in. He wants us, first of all, to overcome our fear. So that's change number one. So Jesus now is in all of our boats. We're looking at, first of all, the changes that he's going to cause. Number one, he causes us to change in terms of our fears. So what fears are you going to overcome in 2013? What fears are there that Jesus wants to touch in your life? Secondly, verse 6 carries on. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Isn't this amazing? What happened when they obeyed? When Simon obeyed and when his partner obeyed, obviously it was Andrew, what happened? His power could manifest. The power of Jesus could manifest, and a miracle happened. Why? Because he said, "Master, at your word." Obedience is part of the healing process. You see, God wants us. Jesus comes into our boat and he causes us to start to yield to his power. Because many of us want to be in so much control. We want to be in control of the situation. And Peter had to give over here because he didn't know what would happen. He could fail again and then he probably would never fish again. Or he could just obey and just trust God. And you see, the more we obey, the more we yield. And guess what happens? When we obey and we start to heal, then there's an opportunity for a miracle to happen. Because it's not us doing that miracle. It's Jesus. And guess what? There were two miracles here. I don't know if you've seen this. Actually, three. We'll get to the third one just now. But first of all, it's the number of fish. The massive amount of fish was a miracle in itself. Because no one had ever, and they were fishing for years there. They were experienced fishermen. They had known the waters there. No one had ever seen this amount of fish. That was a miracle. And then secondly, it actually says here that the net was breaking. But yet, the fish were still in the boat. The fish still seemed to get caught. They weren't lost. Another miracle. So you see, when we start to obey, when we start to yield to God's power, then miracles can happen. When we believe in His power. And I also strongly believe that this year, God really wants to manifest. And He started to show it to us at the end of last year. He started to show glimpses of it. But I believe God wants this year to really manifest His power in a great way. In our lives, that we can have more and more testimonies. That we can have more stories to tell the world about Jesus' glory. And it's not about signs and wonders. We don't follow signs and wonders. But the Bible does say that signs and wonders, the power of God, must follow us. Miracles and healings and deliverances and salvations must follow us if we really believe. Otherwise, do we really believe? But you see, it's all about yielding. It's not only, you know, sometimes we think it's just about how much faith you have, and it's not about that. Because sometimes we can psych ourselves up and say, we've got faith for this great thing, but it's not about that. It's first of all about obedience, which starts a process of yielding in our lives. Yielding to the power of God. And isn't it amazing, if we look at this passage, the great thing about the power of God is that it draws other people. They had to call to these other guys and say, "Help, there's something happening here, please, we need help." And the principle here is that the power of God draws other people. When something happens and there's a manifestation of God's glory, and I'm trusting the Lord for these Sunday services when we have church here, that people would walk past and think, "I just need to be here," because they hear the sound of praise and worship, they experience in the Spirit, Jesus is being glorified in this place, and I can't miss out. We don't have to try to invite people and try to, you know, obviously we've got to do evangelism, we've got to reach out and invite people, but I also believe strongly that as we glorify God, as we trust in His power to manifest, that people will come and be drawn to the glory of God. Isn't that exciting? Because then it's not something we did. Oh, I got this guy saved. You know, when you start talking like that, then you've missed it already. It's only Jesus who saves. But we can invite people. We can still invite people. But you see, when the power of God happens, it just automatically draws other people. Other people have to start getting involved. So are we yielded to the power of God this year? Have you made a decision this year to say, Lord, your glory, your power must manifest. Not my own abilities, my own anointing, my own strength. Because guess what? I cannot fish anymore, Lord. And this is what Peter must have experienced. I cannot fish without you, Lord. I cannot do what I've been called to do without your presence. Because you're showing me my failures. You're showing me that I'll fail in my own strength. But with you, Lord, when I start to get you into my boat, things will start to happen. Number three, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. What a great response, don't you agree? What an amazing response. And some people could think, well, this guy's lost it. He just says, Depart from me, and God wants to be with him, and he's just saying, Depart from me. But no, it's a very positive response. It's the sign of a man who's prepared to face his fears. He started to face his fears. Despite his feelings, he just thought, this is weird stuff, but he just was obeying. And it was the sign of a man who was starting to yield to God. Because what did he do? First of all, he worshipped him. He worshipped him. It says here, before he did anything, before he said anything, the Bible says he fell down at Jesus' knees. That's the first thing he did. And Peter was a very verbal guy. Now, if Peter's actions happened before his words, that's quite a miracle in itself, I suppose. But you see, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Are we going to worship the Lord this year? Because that's part of the change that he wants to bring in us, to remain humble. Are we going to, first of all, worship him despite everything that's happening around us? Secondly, what did he do? He repented of his sin. Humility talks about worship, where we just worship God. And then secondly, humility brings about, when we're truly humble, we'll realize that we cannot do this. And we need to repent of our unbelief. Because that's what he was saying. He says, Depart from me, Lord. I just missed it. I should have believed, but I just didn't believe at all, Lord. Even though I obeyed, I didn't believe. And God doesn't want us just to, you know, be these robots who just obey it all the time. Because we can easily do that. But God wants a submissive heart where we submit to Him, we obey Him, but you know, we're believing Him as well. We believe in what He wants to do. But you see, He causes that change in us. He caused this change in Peter to see himself, to see his own sinfulness. And he confessed as well that he was unworthy. He said, Jesus, I'm so unworthy. You are holy. How can we be in the same boat? Just get away, Jesus. I can't walk on water now, so you better walk on water and just go away from me. Because I'm so unworthy. And that's an amazing response. And that is the response that Jesus wants to cause in our lives. Because sometimes we are so in control and we so want to, you know, if things get out of hand, then we just want to, you know, we just don't respond in saying, Lord, I give over. We try to control it more and try to figure it out more and try to strive more. The Lord just wants us to have this attitude of humility where we worship Him first of all. We glorify Him over our challenge and over our situation. And then we realize, Lord, we're sorry. We're sorry for actually getting in this situation because we should have just believed and been at peace. But there was so much struggle in us. And then we just repent of it and Jesus changes us. He's not worried about how much we miss it. He's just excited when we remain humble and just become so dependent upon Him. And the amazing thing also is that Peter wasn't the only one who felt this way. He just happened to be the one who confessed it because he was a very demonstrative guy. He was a very outspoken person. But all the others, it says here, and all who were with him were astonished at this catch of fish. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with him, they all experienced that this is amazing. And they, in their hearts, truly bowed down to him, because we'll see what their final response was now. But you see, our holiness and our worth comes from Jesus alone. And we need to recognize that we don't always cut it. We miss the mark many times, because sometimes our holiness and our worth comes from our own good works. Jesus wants to get into our boat. He wants to get into our boat to change us, to bring us to this place of humility every time. And this week I was confronted with, now, if you're a guy, and there are not many married guys here, but I can tell you, one of the most difficult things, but one of the most amazing things, is when you say sorry to your wife when you've done something wrong. And for men, our pride and our ego gets in the way, because we're always right. We're never wrong. And now this week I was challenged, and it wasn't with my wife. It was with someone else, where I had to just be so humble, because I could have defended myself. I could have actually justified myself. But I had to come to this place where I just said to this person, I'm sorry. And it was the most difficult thing. It was like I said, Holy Spirit, just help me here, because I can say a lot of things and I can kind of be right and you know, and I admit I was wrong. But you know, I could have just not said it, and it could have caused just, you know, a barrier in the relationship. And it was so amazing. I just was able to get to that point by the power of God, but I just said, I'm sorry, you know, I missed it. And I know this other person was even worse than me in terms of pride. They would probably never say they're sorry, because I can see the pride, and it like almost wants the pride in me to just fight this pride and everything like that, and to just go against it and resist it. And I just realized, for the sake of relationship, I have to be the humble one. This person's not going to say sorry to me, because there were a lot of wrong things that he could have also said sorry about. But it was just so amazing for me by the power of God. And I just realized this is the trend that God wants to do in my life and whatever he wants to do in your life. But it's all about bringing us to this place of humility where we just sometimes have to admit that we are wrong. And if we just say sorry, it just does the world of good. And in a marriage, guys, you're unmarried now, start to practice it now. When you do something wrong, say you're sorry to your friend or your girlfriend or whoever, because that is the thing that will save your marriage many times. When you are wrong and you're supposed to say you're sorry. But you see, sometimes our pride gets in the way. But God wants to change that when he comes into our boat. The last thing, I'll finish off with this from verse 10. Jesus said to Simon the following. This is amazing. Jesus didn't say, oh, Simon, let us just first sort out your problems. Let us just look at what is the root of this problem. Let us go through a big counseling session here. He didn't say that. All he said to Simon, when he saw his heart, when he saw how much he repented, how he worshipped him, how he confessed that he was unworthy, he just said, Simon, don't be afraid. Forget about your own sinfulness. Forget about your own fear. I'm with you. I'm going to change that. I'm going to show you from now on that you're going to catch men. That's all he said to Simon. He said, from now on, you're going to catch men. That is your purpose. I see your heart, Simon. I see that you can follow me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus affirmed him by saying that despite his own fear, he need not fear his sinfulness. Despite his own sinfulness, he need not fear it. Because Jesus was going to use him. Jesus was going to was starting to work with him. And Jesus actually declared him right there, declared him worthy to be a partner. Because he said to him, Simon, from now, I'm going to show you how to catch men. You're going to catch men. But you're not going to do it alone anymore. You're not going to try and put out your net there and fail. You're going to do it with me. And even if you do fail, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to show you how to correct it and how to improve it. But what he also showed him there, he showed him his true purpose. That is what you've been made to do, Simon. That is what you've been called to do. You've been fishing all your life for fish, and now you're going to fish for men. So I want to say to us all this evening, allow Jesus to determine your worth this year. Allow him to determine your worth, and then when you do that, you find your true purpose. What? In simply fishing for other people. That is what we've been called to do. And that is the best way to look away from yourself. Is when you truly allow Jesus to show you what his purpose is for coming here, and that's to change lives. And he wants to use you and he wants to use me to fish for other people. That is our purpose. And if we miss that purpose, we're gonna so get focused on ourselves, we're gonna so get focused on our issues and all our sinfulness. And Jesus said, look here, I'll sort you out. Just start to be a blessing to others. Start to fish for other people. And then it says in verse 11, it says, so when they brought their nets to land, their boats to land, this is not all of them, all four of them. When they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to ask you this evening, are you willing to forsake your life? You see, the best place for your life, guess where it is? It's not floating, it's not sinking, it's not in a storm. The best place for your boat and your life, where is that? It's to be at the edge of the shore. Forsaken, left there, and you follow Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, he who lays down his life, he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The best place for your boat is totally forsaken, where you leave your life on the shore and you just say, Jesus, I'm following you. You leave the things that hold you back, the things where you're so worried about your own life. You're so in control of your own life. And that is where the best place is for us in 2013, for all of us, is where we forsake our lives and we say, Lord, use me. Help me to be a blessing where it's not my life. I don't care about what people say about me. I don't care about how much fear there is in my life. I'm going to leave it in your hands. I'm going to let go of that. Let go of those fears and to follow you. So are you willing to forsake your boat? Are you willing to do what they did, where they brought their boats to land, forsook everything, and they followed him? And we know the story that Peter especially, he denied Jesus again. He missed it again. And at the end of John, it's so interesting when you read the Gospels. At the end of John, this similar story happens where Jesus again teaches them to fish. And then he says, look here, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, he tells Simon. And right at the beginning of Matthew, the first thing, and Henny read this, actually Henny did Mark, but it's the same scripture in Matthew. When Jesus first spoke to his disciples, the first call was also when they were fishing, when they were in a boat. So Jesus is quite serious and he's quite into this whole thing of fishing and boating and everything. But you know what? He's quite into life. He's quite into us as people, and our lives are so important to him. But he wants us to forget about our lives and to fish for other people. And that is the last change that I believe Jesus wants. And once we yield to that, we're going to experience blessing upon blessing upon blessing when we yield to the purpose of God. And however that is, it's going to be different for every person. And same with any sermon last Sunday about making disciples. It's going to be specific for every person. But the keys are the same. You see, the keys are the same as how Jesus did it. So how must we catch men the same as what Jesus did? First of all, we must see their potential. We must see their potential. And then what we must do, we mustn't judge them. We mustn't say, oh, there's a smoker or a prostitute or a... We sort of label people. Oh, that's a guy who cares every Saturday at the rugby and he's drunk all the time. We must see the potential in people and see this amazing blessing that this person can be when they follow Jesus. And even if they don't, they're still amazing. They're still a blessing. But we must love people, you see, and we must see potential just like Jesus when he saw they were sort of losing focus a little bit. He still loved them, despite them not following fully the first time. And some people won't follow Jesus straight away. And we must still love them. We must still see potential in them. And then secondly, we must partner with them. Just like Jesus is excited to have partners, we must be excited about other people to be our partners in this thing of the gospel. And obviously they are mainly Jesus' partners, but Jesus wants us to be his hands and feet, and he just wants us to identify who the partners are in our life. And then what must we do? We must jump into their boats. Just like Jesus jumped into Simon's boat and said, I want to start living with you. And he didn't just focus on Simon. He got into Simon's boat and he preached and he changed others' lives, and then he focused on Simon. So sometimes we must partner by inviting other people into our boats or getting into their boats and saying, what makes you tick? What excites you? Let's look for opportunities like that this year. Let's look for opportunities to get partners for Jesus. And then what do? We cannot change people. Number three is only Jesus changes. Jesus causes change. So we must lead people straight to Jesus. We cannot change them. If we try to change them, we're going to mess it up, and we're probably going to let them go further away from Jesus than they were. So we must just invite people in. We must become partners. See the potential. And then we say to them, yes, your Savior. Jesus is going to save you. Jesus is going to change. He's going to remain humble. He's going to make you overcome your fears and yield to his power. He's going to make you catch other people. And then that's how we make disciples. It's just by letting those people catch other people again. And we lead them to Jesus. And that's the whole process. But you see, it all starts when we forsake our boats and forsake our lives. Because otherwise it just becomes comfortable. And we're in control, and we'll decide when we want to do certain things or not. And Jesus sometimes wants to come and challenge us. And this year, I believe he's going to challenge us in very specific areas that we've maybe left dormant for a while. But only he can show you that. Only he can change what he needs to change. Are you willing to allow him? Let's all stand as the band comes forward here this evening. Lord, we just want to thank you right now as we, Lord, just lay down our lives and choose to lay down our lives for your purpose, Lord. We thank you that as you step into our boats, Lord, change happens. You cause change in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for, first of all, Lord, for pursuing us and for seeing the potential in us. God, we were so lost, and even right now we're still so lost. But Lord, you see the potential in all of us. And we want to thank you for that. And we want to thank you for partnering with us, Lord. And Lord, asking us to be your partners, inviting us, Lord, giving us the privilege of partnering with you in your kingdom and in your cause, Lord. But Lord, this year we don't just want to be partners with you and have an easy ride, Lord. We want to truly humble ourselves and just allow you to cause change in our lives. Sometimes it's so difficult. Many times, Lord, all the time, change is difficult. Saying sorry and being humble and, Lord, seeing our own sin is not easy, God. But you are with us in our boats. And Lord, as you do that, we ask that you would help us to lay down our lives, to forsake everything, Lord. Most of all, the fears, Lord, and the rejection that we've experienced, even in serving your cause, God. Many of us have been hurt in church and hurt in pursuing your kingdom, and we just want to rest, Lord. We just want sometimes just to sit back and, Lord, watch how others do it and just go to heaven, Lord, and have an easy life. But you haven't called us for that, Lord. You've called us for the adventure, Lord, where we let go and we slide down that slide, Lord, and experience the adventure of life, Lord, when we go with you. So we want to thank you this evening, Lord. I thank you that you're speaking to every single person here, very individually, very specifically, Lord. You are touching hearts by your Spirit right now, Lord. And I thank you for just an honesty, Lord, amongst all of us here this evening. Every person who's here, Lord, that there would be an honesty in terms of where they're at with you, Lord. And maybe you're here this evening and you just want to start this partnership with Jesus because you haven't even allowed Jesus into your boat, so let alone the change, because Jesus won't change you when he's not in your boat. He wants to be in your boat. He just wants to be in relationship with you first of all, because many of us are trying to save ourselves even. But we need to make that change from where we allow Jesus into our boat, and then he will start to change us. And I just believe someone here, you're just tired of trying to please God, and even you know the Lord, but you're not having a living relationship with him. And I believe Jesus wants to start a new partnership with you again. He wants you to just afresh allow you, or that you will allow him into your boat, and that he can change you tonight.